This is the John Gambling Show on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
Now, with New York's only local News Talk morning radio program, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Got that right, Bill Rock. That's exactly what we've got. John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg, 9 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Friday. Good morning, sir.
$64 question.
What's that?
Will there be rain today, tomorrow, and Sunday?
Well, you always talk
forecast
about this.
Forecast says, and if you look at the weather maps, there are isolated storms that keep coming across. So I think if somebody rains on your picnic, go inside for a few minutes. The rain will go away. The record's 40 days and 40 nights, so we know it's going to end, but I think it'll end much quicker than that. And just don't stay outside when there's lightning and thunder.
Did you march the entire parade last Sunday in that
monsoon? Yeah, I did, in all
fairness.
It's a shame that it rains on any parade. The part when I marched, when we started at 1 o'clock, it was drizzling, in all fairness. It wasn't teeming with rain. And there were some parts afterwards where they did have terrible rain. But, you know, the Dominican spirit is there. Dominicans have, it's a newer group that's come to America. And the newer the group, the more
enthusiastic.
Sure. I mean, there's lots of small countries. You know, you go out to Queens and you'll see an Ecuadorian parade and or fair. And, you know, you say, you've never seen this, but per capita, enormous enthusiasm. And these things are good for the city. They get lots of coverage in the countries that are represented, which means more tourists come here. They generate economic activity and pride and people being happy to live here. We want them to stay in New York City.
All right. Big story today is the toll hikes, which are going to be voted on in less than an hour by the Port Authority. We've talked the numbers. You know the numbers. What effect do you think that has on the city? I know we know what effect
well,
it has on the individuals.
Well, the easiest answer to your question is I can tell you what the effect would be if they didn't raise the tolls. The bridges would eventually fall down. We wouldn't fix anything. We wouldn't be able to make the commute better and let business go on back and forth under the river, over the river. So tolls, if you want services, you got to pay for them. Then the argument is simply when and who pays.
And how much.
Well, how much is, in the end, you sort of have to do everything. It would be less expensive to do a lot of the maintenance today rather than to wait for the situation to get much worse. That was a mistake made in the 70s, and we're just finally finishing up in New York, redoing all the bridges. The last four are being worked on. But there's no secrets here, and, you know, you can criticize Governor Cuomo and Governor Christie, but they have no choice. They have to act responsibly. They have to get more revenue. I think most people think that those who use the services should be a very big part of that. Maybe not all, but a very big part. And the amount needed is as much dictated by the needs to pay the people who provide the service, to redo the bridges and tunnels and that sort of thing, as it is by the politics. The politics are of any race, whether it's the MTA or the Port Authority, whether it's taxes or anything else, everybody says too much, I don't want to pay it. And nobody ever likes the people who raise the fees, taxes, whatever. But to not do it would be totally irresponsible. And Cuomo and Christie understand, you know, these are responsible guys. They have a long-term view. And, is this the exact right level? It's an answer. It's a rational answer. And that's fine. Let's do it.
All right.
I'm not happy about it. And it doesn't help commerce. But the alternative would be a lot worse.
All right. You've watched from both sides, from the private side and the public side, the fact that the public side does not have to produce a profit. Does that generate a lax oversight, do you think, as a generality?
No. I mean, I've tried to look to see whether if you have exactly the same thing in the public sector and the private sector.
I'm talking about the overtime numbers that have been out in the paper and everything.
You know. Overtime is one of those things that's easy to yell and scream about. If you didn't have, just give you a good example in our police department. There are parades and fairs and visits to the city, and all of a sudden you need to have more cops on the street. But you don't need those cops when those events aren't taking place. Would you rather than pay overtime, expand the size of the workforce so much that for a big part of the time you have too many people? No. So the answer is you use overtime. Could you cut it? Yeah, you can cut anything. But that doesn't make it a rational policy. John, you still got to come back to what's the service that we have to provide and should provide. Then let's make sure we do it reasonably efficiently and then figure out how to pay for it. And overtime really is part of good management because you just don't want the maximum workforce for the maximum one time a year when you need it.
All right, back to the efficiencies of public versus private.
The only place I've ever really been able to compare, I tried to do it with the sanitation department because we generate something like 22,000 tons of solid waste a day, roughly half commercial, which is picked up by private vendors, roughly half residential, which is picked up by the city. That's not an apples-to-apples comparison exactly because the sanitation department has to plow and clean the streets and empty the waste baskets at the corner, but roughly it's the same thing. And when I looked at this, was 7, 8, 9 years ago, it was hard to tell a difference. They were pretty close one to another. The bottom line is if you want good sanitation people, you have to pay them. If you want more services, you have to have more of them. Taxpayer says, I don't want to spend any more. But, you know, our sanitation department does a pretty good job. Does that mean we can continue to afford the size sanitation department we have if we are going forward here for the next few years? Maybe we can't. But in all fairness, if you take a look at the men and women in the Department of Sanitation today, whether it's cleaning the streets to go back to the snowstorm or it's picking up the trash, they do a good job. I would argue, I'm not an expert on every city in the country, but our streets are as clean as anybody's. And, you know, when I came into office, I remember going down Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn. And it was like a sewer from one end to another. Today, every once in a while, I'm driving down Atlantic Avenue if I'm bored.
I go down there a lot, actually.
I play a game. How many blocks can you go before you see one piece of trash in the street? And you can go sometimes 3, 4, 5 blocks. That's so different. People don't remember, except tourists. Tourists come here and say, where's all the trash? Last time I was here. No, so, you know, I don't mean to just use the sanitation department because you can take any agency. But overtime is a necessary planning tool or ways to compensate. And I don't think you can argue that the private sector does better. There are always people that say, if you put this in the private sector, it'd be better. Well, some things you don't want to put in the private sector. You cannot put in the private sector policing and firefighting and that sort of stuff. It's just too important. You see what happens when people want to try to put education in the private sector. You'd think the world is coming to an end. And I think you can do some in education. I still think you have to have a public school system that should be with municipal workers. But there, you can have some private alternatives there. That works. There are a lot of private schools that are very good. And then there are some things that you can privatize. But just because you privatize it doesn't mean it's going to be done any better. As a matter of fact, there is what you pointed out in the public. There is no profit center. So the extra amount of monies that you'd have to pay a return for the private sector should increase the cost. People would argue, look, that if you do that, you'll make it up by having more competent people. John, I've worked for 10 years now with 330,000 people, and there's some duds. But, you know, the group of people here in this city is really quite amazing. They make it work. They work hard. They're flexible. They care. Next time you come back to the sanitation department, next time the truck goes by, take a look. These guys are working hard. And they're not dropping the stuff in the street. They're careful. They're typically big, burly guys, and it's a tough job. It's a dangerous job. Firefighters, look at those guys. They train and train. Cops, they keep us safe every day. So I don't think it's this general rap on the public and the belief that the private sector can do everything better is right, although I'm certainly enough a capitalist to believe there are some things the private sector can do a lot better.
All right, Mr. Mayor, hang on. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. Let me take care of a little business here on our private sector. Rolling Stones, Bumper Music Friday.
I sit and watch the children play.
23 minutes after 8 o'clock, Mayor Michael Bloomberg is here. Rolling Stone fan or not so much?
Yeah. No, I was always a Rolling Stone fan. It's sort of my generation, 60s, 70s, I guess. Mick Jagger's been around a long time.
And he's still doing it.
It's amazing to me. There are certain people in certain businesses that keep going on, and they're businesses where you're a flash in the pan all the time. There's nothing, there's never any long term, and yet Mick Jagger and Diana Ross, Aretha Franklin, you know.
McCartney
goes on and on. Bette Midler, I wish she'd go back
Stevie
and
Wonder.
Sing.
Yeah,
Stevie
exactly.
Wonder, Manelli,
the talented,
Liza
it's the
Minnelli.
Talented. It's the talented.
Well, the
ones.
Same thing in other, you know, Steve Jobs has gone on an awful long time, and Michael Dell. And,
Gates.
Gates, you know, in a business where it's short term, you take a look at fashion, De Laurentiis and Hilfiger and Ralph Lauren, it goes on and on and on from success to success. Carolina Herrera. Yeah, some people have some talent and they can change as the world changes. If you're right one time and you're a big star, that may be just the luck of the draw. Your skills happen to match the needs of the moment. But what's much more impressive is as time changes, if you change your skills. I was thinking during the commercial break, we talked about public sector, private sector, and people getting paid. One of the things that's happening next Friday is that a special commission established by the state has got to set judicial salaries. Our judges have not had a raise since 1999. And you'd have be very hard-pressed to find anybody that
anybody.
Has... Anybody? I think maybe the state legislature, because they were always tied to the state legislature. That was a gimmick. The state legislature, I think, thought, well, they'll force us to raise salaries for judges, and it'll give us the cover to... We didn't want to raise our own salaries public, but we were forced to do it. But anyways, it was split apart. New York, I think they're dead last in judicial compensation in the country, if you adjust for cost of living.
That's got to cost you good talent, no?
Yeah, I mean, I appoint... civil court and criminal court justices, and I've appointed something like 160 so far. And when I finish this year, I will have either appointed or reappointed everyone, because the maximum term for both those classes is 10 years. But they make like $125,000, $135,000. And you want to attract people. You know, a lawyer normally would, with a lot of experience, would make more of that. And you want, we have a lot of young people who will become, want to become judges, and we really have picked a great group, I think. And most people, conventional wisdom is we really have. But you'd like to have some people with more maturity. And they have, you know, worked a lot longer, and it's just a big sacrifice. Now, understand the state's fiscal situation is tough, and I'm sympathetic with the governor. But we do have to have a very strong judiciary. And one of the problems people say, oh, you know, you can't give them the percentage-wise. It would be an outrage. You can see the headline, 1,000% increase or whatever it is. Yeah, well, if you don't give anybody a raise for 12 years and then you have to get them up to what's normal, the percentage is going to be big. Thank you very much.
This is a decision by the legislature. Correct.
The legislature, I think it might have been done under David Patterson's reign, because it was around a long time. Pretty sure it was not done in the Cuomo administration. But my recollection is the legislature voted and the governor of the time signed it, and they set up a special commission. And the commission's got to make a decision. And there's a fail-safe thing in there. If the legislature and the governor don't like what they did, they would have to veto it, and the governor would have to sign the legislation, so require enough to override a governor's veto. It's like the base closing commissions. It's a ways to get independent people to look at it, and the cynic would say to avoid a little bit of public ire. But
I wouldn't say that.
Well,
I was just about to say.
You know,
it,
I mean, it's easy to have these stories. Isn't it an outrage, the tolls? Yeah, but you want the service? Somebody's got to pay for it. Isn't it an outrage to pay judges? You want good judges or good cops or sanitation workers, as we talked about?
We talked about this last week briefly, the Parks Department and the budgetary woes and the potentials that a lot of people are going to have to, you know, get laid off. I understand that Adrian Benepe and the city were able to put together something.
We worked in all fairness. Lillian Roberts, who runs DC 37, is very large municipal union that represents people in a lot of different agencies. They work together, and they, you know, like everything else, both sides can say we got something that we wanted and not everything. But the agreement was that some people will go to seasonal work for the next 3 years and then be phased out. Some will continue on as full-time, which is the Parks Commissioner would love to have more full-time people. It gives him the resources he needs to maintain the parks. And then we're changing some things with workers who have to work for training and others who have to work in order to qualify for food stamps and that sort of thing. And overall, we keep building more parks. Every place you go, there is just you turn a corner and there's another park in the middle of the street or around the corner.
And the success is demonstrated by the High Line, by Brooklyn.
Those are the big ones. The small ones, we set out a goal of everybody will live within a 10-minute walk of a park. I don't know how close we are to that, but reasonably close. I'm sure there's someplace, somebody, if you walk the right way, you can't get there. But we're getting to having people have better access. The parks have, in the last 10 years, enormous improvement, big expansions, whether it's the Hudson River Park or the High Line on the west side, the East River Esplanade, the Governor's Island, and Brooklyn Bridge Parks. There's parks up in the Bronx, parks on Staten Island. Staten Island is like a quarter of parks. One quarter of the whole land is parks. It's really amazing. But whether it's Staten Island, Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, or Manhattan, every place we keep expanding. And, you know, can you ever have enough? One of the problems is you got to figure out ways to pay the maintenance, and that's where you saw the brouhaha over the Brooklyn Bridge Park. We're going to have to find other ways to lock in funding because city government is just not going to have the resources. Next year and the year after are going to be very, very tough. We've used up 4 out of 6 billion of our reserve, and for the next 2 years, we've got big deficits programmed. And if you think about it, just read the stories. Look at the stock market. The economy in the country is not running away on the upside, whether it's going a double dip or doing slightly better. And there's a lot of statistics that say it is doing slightly better. But still, there's an enormous number of people out of work, people still losing their houses, their empty storefronts.
You've been very successful at funding things using private money.
There's a limit to how much.
I understand, but that was my question. Do you think that there is resource available to put together like a Central Park Conservancy for all of the parks, which is an endowment thing?
No, there are resources to do it where people live. They can take care of, they're always willing to take care of their own. Now, in some communities, the people don't have a lot of money, so they're taken care of. They may volunteer to pick up trash or direct traffic or, you know, warn bicyclists to slow down or whatever you can do. So you can make big contributions with your actions. If you have money, that helps a lot too, because then we use the money to have professionals provide the service rather than just volunteers.
Sure.
And, you know, the biggest one is Central Park Conservancy, but Prospect Park has a conservancy, and there are others around the city. The Central Park is probably, far and away, the biggest, but that's because it's surrounded by in wealthy neighborhoods. But it's open to everybody, and, you know, the concerts, and that's like Black Eyed Peas coming September
back.
30th.
Yeah.
Let's pray for the weather. I guaranteed at the announcement that the weather will be good. Now, how do I deliver that? Well, if I do, you'll think I work magic. And if I don't, you'll forget that I have a promise that I hope.
I think so. Maybe. 8:31 in the morning. Mr. Mayor, sit tight. Let's let Joe Bartlett do his thing.
No colors anymore. I want them to turn black.
Some great Rolling Stone music. Rolling Stone Bumper Music Friday with Mayor Michael Bloomberg and John Gambling. 2 weeks ago, I think it was, I asked you the question, so what's the agenda for the 9/11 ceremony? You ran it down, and, the phone hasn't stopped ringing.
Well, you know, this is New York, and
everybody
would like to participate, and the bottom line is everybody cannot participate. There isn't room, there isn't time, and in some cases it's just not appropriate. One of the brouhahas is the first responders want to be able to come during the ceremony, be in front of the speakers, and walk on to the memorial. There is not enough room for everybody, and this is about, day one is about families. Day two is about everybody else, maybe, but day one is about families. And so we've had to say, no, we've tried to discourage heads of states, with the exception of President Obama and President Bush. The security people, Congress has been cooperative. They've authorized trips for only the regional, congressional, and Senate delegates, senators, so that'll be a small group, because everybody just pushes.
That will be there that Sunday?
They can be like they've been for the last 10 times.
Off to the side?
Yes, we've done this 10 times. We did a six-month one and then nine anniversaries, and that they'll be off to the side. But we have set up big screens in Zuccotti Park, which is where we've done this ceremony the last few years, on the other side of the World Trade Center, so you'll be able to see
this it. This year you're going to close West Street, right? And you're going to
this
do it
This time
on
it's going to be on West Street, and then we'll open up, and the families, after they hear their loved ones' names, will be able to walk on, walk around, look for the names around the pools. Now, you know, a lot of the grass is in, a lot of the trees are in, all the names are there, the water will be coming down. There's one corner that's not finished, because that's where the Port Authority Calatrava Path Station is, and it's still under construction. And the museum underground won't be available till a year from now. But we said we'd deliver it on time. The Port Authority and everybody came to an agreement. They took over the construction. Foundation had to raise $260 million. Then they came back and asked us to raise $280. We've raised $407 because we need to have a endowment to pay for ongoing maintenance and security and that sort of thing. We're trying to get the federal government to make it a national monument, which would give us another $20-odd million or 30, whatever it is, whatever we can get a year. That will help. So we're doing that. And the format is exactly the same as we've done 10 times now. We have a handful of people who have a direct connection leading this country back then and today, who will each speak for, I don't know, it's 30 seconds or a minute, something like that. We give each of the speakers two or three poems or passages to pick from, so that there's never an allegation of a political speech. Yeah. For the point of view of the speakers, it's one of the best things ever, because nobody can ever criticize them for you trying to...
Or for what you've said.
Right. So, you know, I mean, these are famous speeches, whether it's a piece of the Emancipation Proclamation or a poem by a great Irish poet that has something to do with sacrifice and families. And we stop when each building got hit, when each in the time frame, and we ring a bell and stop when the buildings came down and stop when the plane went at the Pentagon and the one at the field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And then the president of the United States is going to speak. It's the first time we have a sitting president come. The former president, George W. Bush, who was president at the time, will come and speak. Two governors at the time, Governor Pataki and Governor DeFrancisco, will speak. And the mayor at the time, Rudy Giuliani, will speak. And then you have the two governors of New York and New Jersey, Governor Cuomo and Governor Christie, and the current mayor. And those eight are the speakers. Everyone's, you can rest assured, we have it right down to the second, same length. And then for most of the time, it's people reading the names.
Which
and
will include this year, I understand, the Pentagon
yes,
names
this
as
year,
well as the
This year,
the
names of the people in the other two locations, which we've never done before, so it'll be a little bit longer. But the names of those who died in Shanksville and in Pentagon's in Arlington, I guess, in Arlington, Virginia, their names are also around
the
two voids, yes. So they'll be included.
I understand, I've heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, obviously, it's my question, that this will be the last year that the names are read, that in future years,
know.
Or that has... That
some has, people have said, you know, we should go on forever. Some people have said change is good. The subject's come up a couple times, and I think we've said the foundation board will talk about this. Remember, the Port Authority builds it's on Port Authority land. There's this big foundation that's raised $407 million and 30 people on the board. family members and donors and contractors and people who can contribute. We'll talk to a lot of the family members and talk to a lot of the existing first responders and see what people think. And you're never going to have unanimity. There will always be dissension, and the papers will make a big deal of it. But you look at the stuff. It's a quiet news day and cycle in New York now, so people are trying to make a big deal. Governor Christie has been there every year since he became governor, and Governor Cuomo wasn't governor before.
There's so no feud between the two of you.
No, I mean, the big disagreements are going to come very few with Governor Christie because he's in New Jersey and we're here. Governor Cuomo and I will have differences. I think he should take all the state resources and send them to New York City. He probably doesn't agree with that.
Yeah, I got you.
But these are, and they're not feuds in the sense of you dislike or you hate. Yeah, the staffs always blow them up. The press always wants to blow them up. But you have to work together. What's more, each of us understands the other person has a tough job. There's no right answers. You have to be seen fighting for your constituents. But you also have to step back and lead from the front, not from the back, and do what's right. And those are tough decisions. So, when Governor Christie or Governor Cuomo gets beaten up in the press, my sympathies are with them because I know what it's like when I get beaten up. And whether you agree with any decision that any of the three of us make or not, I think the public understands Governor Christie, Governor Cuomo, Mayor Bloomberg are trying to do what they think is right and not just rush to take a poll. That's not what you're elected for. You're elected to make decisions, and you're elected because people look you in the eye and say, I like this guy's values. I won't agree with everything. Go for it. And I think, so far, Governor Cuomo's done a great job. Governor Christie's a year in to office. And I like Governor Christie comes into New York. I've met him. I've seen him at baseball games. I've seen him at Knicks or Rangers games. I want him to come in and spend some money here. Okay. And I go to New Jersey and spend some money. So, Governor, if you're listening, don't worry about it.
I see we got two lines open. Mike must be extra tough today. 800-321-0710. 800-321-0710. If you have a question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg, we'll get to you before we finish up here. Prior to coming on over here to WOR, you were on the CBS Morning Show talking the economy. Is your view any different today than it was a week ago? Have things changed in your mind?
Well, nothing changes in that kind of
time frame. But you know what I'm talking about.
The stock market goes up and down. Somebody said it's always going to vary or some cute thing like that.
Are you more worried than you were maybe a week ago?
No, I think that I was very worried a week ago. I continue to be very worried. Europe is a basket case. Most of those countries do not have money. They've overspent. They spend a lot of money they don't have. And the only practical solution is that Germany and France can bail out all of Europe or most of Europe. Not every country is Scandinavian. Countries tend to be better, but generally what I've said is correct. And it's not clear that the citizens of those countries are willing to do it. Here in America, it's a different problem. People think that we may get to that, spend money, and eventually it will catch up with us. And there are economists that say yes and economists that say no, and people have different views. In America, we had a recession, a big problem in 08. It was caused by too much risk-taking. But everybody wanted it. Congress wanted it. You wanted it. I wanted it. We all wanted to build and keep expanding and see the stock market going up. And then eventually it crashed, which it does after every long expansion. Then we, of course, look for people to blame. That's fun. It's great sport. But now we're in a different situation. Now we have a problem that's exactly reverse. People are unwilling to take risks. We want banks to make more loans. They have money, but they won't. We want companies to borrow money and expand, but they won't. We want people to go buy houses, but they won't. We want people to be willing to try new, open new businesses, try new jobs. They're all scared. Why? Because government's not functioning, because we've gone after those who took lots of risks and in some cases threatened to put them in jail, in some cases did, but it was fraud. But generally speaking, everybody wanted the markets to expand, and now that we have exactly the reverse problem, and unless we figure out what to do about short-term jobs, but not that much longer term, the deficit, and you have to do both. And that's what the president's got to give us some guidance.
Do you think that there is a monetary way to to turn this around?
No, the interest rates are at zero. I mean, you know, some of these bills.
It's a psychological situation, isn't it?
It's business confidence first and foremost. That's correct. Confidence will help create jobs. Confidence will help create more revenues from economic activity to pay down the deficit. There are lots of things you can do. Fiscal policy and monetary policy have some effect. But generally, what the monetary policy is you pull out or add to the money supply. And at this point, nobody's pulling out and the interest rates are zero. People don't say, I'm not going to borrow because interest rates are too high. It can't get any lower.
They're just scared.
Some of them are literally at zero. Two-month bills were at zero, 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 zero. You literally didn't get a return from buying a piece of government paper. I think the general consensus of Americans is that the federal government is not doing the job. And I keep saying this, there will be no winners out of this. Some people try to make a political thing. Both sides of the aisle, both ends of Pennsylvania Avenue, they're all going to be have to stand up and explain how this country got into trouble and they couldn't pull together to come out of it. And in fact, the good news is, in the background, the economic statistics are not that bad. Certainly not as bad as the stock market's telling you, but the stock market's not talking about that. The stock market's talking about the collapse of Europe. The stock market is talking about if the EU goes away, it's a big market, and it'll be much harder for us to sell things over there, and we sell a lot of stuff made in America over in Europe. Same thing in Asia. All these economies are intertwined in this day and age. But the economy isn't as bad as the stock market thinks. Bonds probably have been overbought. That it's pretty hard to argue that it makes sense to buy a bond that's giving you a 0.5% interest rate. Gold, you know, if you ever saw a case of something, it's going virtually vertical. Nothing goes vertical in history. Last person that invented perpetual motion was before our time, and we haven't found them yet. And the stock market isn't anywhere near as bad as the prices are, or at least what. The economy is not as bad as the stock market. But the stock market is expectations and aspirations and speculation, and it's a messenger. It's like blaming the S&P company for downgrading the United States. You can argue whether it should or shouldn't, but the real issue here is, were they right on what's going on? They criticize the government for not being able to come up with long-term solutions. And everybody agrees. They haven't come up with long-term solutions. Okay, so what'd they do wrong? I mean, we should stop this. We're blaming everybody. I know the mortgage crisis was terrible. We can sit here and have a good time going after who was responsible. But the main issue with the mortgage market is, how do we get people to go take mortgages and buy houses? It's the other side of that. You know, we're looking for somebody to blame in everything. It's shooting messengers instead of focusing on.
Because nobody wants to make the decisions. They want to talk. They want to do anything but that. Don't you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think. Nobody likes to be criticized. We were talking about three people before, and you know, are they fighting back and forth? No, they all make decisions. Christie, Cuomo, Bloomberg. They make decisions. It may not be at the same level, but people won't agree with any one of them. But nobody's ever accused Cuomo, Christie, or Bloomberg of being reticent and not making a decision. So some people do. You might not like which ones. In the federal government, it's much tougher to do. And you look at the polls. I saw a poll the other day. Tea Party, which is to me, the Tea Party is. The Ross Perot boomlet, it's the John McCain boomlet the first time. It's people striking out and saying something wrong, and I just want it changed. Don't know necessarily what to change or how to change it, but they strike out. But the Tea Party all of a sudden is becoming less popular, and people will, this too will pass, I hope. But it's going to require some courage and leadership.
All right, we've got some folks on the phones that have a question or two. Short, Mr. Mayor. We're going to go right to the telephone, and this is Lewis. Hello, Lewis. You've got the mayor. Go.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning. Good morning,
Mr. Gambling. My question really is I know there's much talk regarding reduction of services to firefighters, police, sanitation, the usuals. How many people, what's the number of employees that have been added either to City Hall or direct agencies where if we had to cut staff, could it be last hired, first fired in an effort to make cost reductions?
Well, I happen to know the numbers since, I think it was since June of 08. We had 487 people working in City Hall. Today it's 412. So we've reduced the staff in City Hall by 15%. But you still have to have the staff in City Hall to do the things that the law requires and to provide management. And in all these agencies, Lewis, people say, oh, let's cut management. If you're going to have to do more with less, you need better management. And, no organization exists and survives and prospers without good management. So, it's a balance, and you don't want people who are needless, who you could do without, except that when you go around and say, is anybody in this room somebody that we really don't need? You don't get a lot of volunteers. Yeah,
go in the air, do they?
Right.
All right, let's go to Chris. Chris, you've got the mayor's ear. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Mayor Bloomberg and Mr. Gambling. This is a really quick two-part question regarding the fire department and waste. I'm really upset. I live on Staten Island, constantly at the supermarket. I constantly see the whole truck of firemen going in there to go shopping. Not one. Everyone's going shopping for the most expensive food. Number two, I have family members who are in the fire department. They tell me that they have Viking ranges, all these expensive stoves and whatnot, all the equipment. Why are my taxpayer dollars going to expensive
Chris, stuff? Number one, I believe the firefighters pay for their own food. So I don't know if they buy expensive food or inexpensive food, but they're buying their own lunch or their own dinner or their own breakfast. And, nothing wrong with that. That's probably a pretty good deal for the city. In some places, if you had to work and had to be in the station all the time, you would say that the city should pay for it, which we're not going to do. Whether it's one or a whole bunch, once the engine gets there, whether it's one that goes in or the other, it doesn't matter. If there's an emergency, they rush out, they jump in the truck or the engine and zip off. And if they don't, they're all buying their food. In terms of, our firehouses, they have kitchens because we require them to live there for 8 or sometimes up to 24 hours at a time. And we provide those facilities. I will say an awful lot of them are very old. Kind of hard to argue that they are luxurious. They are sturdy, I think is a nice way to phrase it. And, the best thing in the world would be if our firefighters spent all their time in the firehouse training and never had to go out on a job. That's the ultimate dream. That's not the real world. They're always going to go out on jobs and save lives. And one of the things you and I were talking about, John, during the break, is they're out trying to save lives, and yet we have these call boxes. A judge won't let us close them.
Yeah, the fire boxes.
The fire boxes. This hasn't been a fire reported, virtually zero in many, many years, but they are used for false alarms.
And the cost is like $13 million.
Firefighters have to rush to – the real cost is firefighters, when there's an alarm, they don't know whether it's false or not, so they have to rush. God forbid somebody gets killed from a speeding fire engine trying to get there to save lives when there wasn't a life to be saved, but it cost a life. The judge should let us close these boxes today. People who are deaf, you have text messaging, you have emails, you have the ability to tap on your phone. You can do the same. Most people have mobile phones. You can see there's no pay phones anymore. Those are virtually all gone because everybody in this day and age has a mobile phone, and that's just what we need.
All right, we are out of time.
We didn't get to our tweet.
No, I'm afraid you didn't get to your tweet. Sorry. You save it for next time.
Okay.
Next time will be in a couple of weeks.
Looking forward to it. Have a great, great time.
All right, thank you. Mayor Michael Bloomberg. He'll be back within 2 weeks.